Show us your style. Ged, confused and taken aback, said nothing.
Later on, Jasper, Vetch said in his plain way. Let him be a while.
Well, he has either skill or power, or the doorkeeper wouldn't have let him in. Why shouldn't he show it now as well as later, right, Sparrowhawk?
I have both skill and power, Ged said. Show me what kind of thing you're talking about.
Well, illusions, of course. Tricks, games of seeming, like this.
Pointing his finger, Jasper spoke a few strange words, and where he pointed on the hillside, among the green grasses, a little thread of water trickled and grew, and then now a spring gushed out, and the water went running down the hill. Ged put his hand in the stream, and it felt wet, drank of it, and it was cool. Yet for all that, it would quench no thirst, being but illusion. Jasper, with another word, stopped the water, and the grasses waved dry in the sunlight.
And now you, Vetch, he said with his cool smile.
Vetch scratched his head and looked glum, but he took up a bit of earth in his hand and began to sing tunelessly over it, molding it with his dark fingers and shaping it, pressing it, stroking it, and suddenly it was a small creature like a bumblebee or furry fly that flew humming off over Roke Knoll and vanished. Ged stood staring crestfallen. What did he know but mere village witchery, spells to call goats, cure warts, move loads, or mend pots?
I do know such tricks as these.
And that was enough for Vetch, who was for going on. But Jasper said,
Why don't you?
The sorcery is not a game. We Gauntishmen do not play it for pleasure or praise, Ged answered haughtily.
Well, what do you play it for? Money?
No! But he could not think of anything more to say that would hide his ignorance and save his pride. Jasper laughed, not ill-humoredly, and went on leading them on around Roke Knoll, and Ged followed, sullen and sore-hearted, knowing he had behaved like a fool, and blaming Jasper for it. That night, as he lay wrapped in his cloak on the mattress in his cold, unlit cell of stone, in the utter silence of the great house of Roke, the strangeness of the place and the thought of all the spells and sorceries that had been worked there began to come over him, heavily. Darkness surrounded him. Dread filled him. He wished he were anywhere else but Roke. But Vetch came to the door, a little bluish ball of ware-light, nodding over his head to light the way, and asked if he could come in and talk a while. He asked Ged about Gaunt, and then spoke fondly of his own home isles of the East Reach, telling how the smoke of village hearth fires is blown across that quiet sea at evening between the small islands with funny names, Corp, Cop, and Holp, Venway and Vemish, Ifish, Coppish, and Sneg. When he sketched the shapes of those lands on the stones of the floor with his finger to show Ged how they lay, the lines he drew shone dim as if drawn with a stick of silver for a while before they faded. Vetch had been 3 years at the school, and soon would be made sorcerer. He thought no more of performing the lesser arts of magic than a bird thinks of flying. Yet a greater unlearned skill he possessed, which was the art of kindness. And that night, and always from then on, he offered and gave Ged friendship, a sure and open friendship which Ged could not help but return. Yet Vetch was also friendly to Jasper, who had made Ged into a fool that first day on Roke Knoll. Ged wouldn't forget this, nor, it seemed, would Jasper, who always spoke to him with a polite voice and a mocking smile. Ged's pride would not be slighted or condescended to. He swore to prove to Jasper and all the rest of them among whom Jasper was something of a leader how great his power really was. Some day. For none of them, for all their clever tricks, had saved a village by wizardry. Of none of them had Ogion written that he would be the greatest wizard of Gaunt. So, bolstering up his pride, he set all his strong will on the work they gave him, the lessons and crafts and histories and skills taught by the gray-cloaked masters of Roke, who were called the Nine. Part of each day he studied with the Master Chanter, learning the deeds of heroes and the lays of wisdom, beginning with the oldest of all songs, the creation of Ea. Then, with a dozen other lads, he would practice with the Master Wind Key at arts of wind and weather. Whole bright days of spring and early summer they spent out in Roke Bay in light catboats, practicing steering by word and stilling waves, and speaking to the world's wind and raising up the mage wind. And these are very intricate skills, and frequently Ged's head got whacked by the swinging boom as the boat jibed under a wind suddenly blowing backwards, or his boat and another collided, though they had the whole bay to navigate in, or all three boys in his boat went swimming unexpectedly as the boat was swamped by a huge unintended wave. And there were quieter expeditions ashore, other days, with the master Herbal, who taught the ways and properties of things that grow. And the master Hand taught sleight and jugglery and the lesser arts of changing. At all these studies Ged was apt, and within a month was bettering lads who had been a year at Roke before him. Especially the tricks of illusion came to him so easily that it seemed he had been born knowing them and needed only to be reminded. The master Hand was a gentle and light-hearted old man who had endless delight in the wit and beauty of the crafts he taught. Ged soon felt no awe of him, but asked him for this spell and that spell, and always the master smiled and showed him what he wanted. But one